Welcome to PJEFC's Pulpit Ministry, a ministry that is committed to the preaching of the Word to transform life.
Good morning, church. Feels like I haven't preached here for a long time. By the way, if you want to listen to the same sermon but preach in Chinese, you can visit the Chinese service later and you will earn yourself a ticket as well. All right, so today I want to talk about a topic that is close to my heart, and that is the Great Commission. To reach people for Jesus. In this month, Dare to Sermon Series, I hope that the sermon series will speak to you and inspire you to step out by faith, out of your comfort zone. You know, we have a great God, and He has given us a great commission. It is not a tiny, puny, small commission. It's a great commission. And in order for us to accomplish something so great under God, we need to have a great faith, great trust in God. Twice in the gospel, Jesus was amazed at the faith of the people. One was negative response and one was a positive one. So the first instance was recorded in Mark chapter 6 when Jesus returned to his hometown and he wasn't welcomed by the people in his hometown. And this is what is written in Mark chapter 6, verse 6. Jesus was amazed at their lack of faith. And then in the second instance, in Luke chapter 7, Jesus met the Roman centurion. And you know what happened. This Roman centurion trusted Jesus' word. And in verse 9, chapter 7, verse 9, in the book of Luke, this is what is written. When Jesus heard his reply, Jesus was amazed at him. And turning to the crowd following him, he said, "I tell you, I have not found such faith, such great faith, even in Israel." And so, friends, as we go through this month of DMM, let us not insult Jesus with our lack of faith, with our little faith. Let us amaze him with big thinking, with faith-filled ambitions. Let us amaze him with our faith. We see the new developments, right? All of us, we see the new developments, the new condos around the church. And what does faith-filled ambitions look like? It looks like this. We should have a strong desire to want to reach everyone that God has placed around us with the good news. If we live in a community of 20,000 people, we should have a strong desire to reach 20,000 people for God in our community. Amen to that? So we may as well start with those who are right beside us. And this was our vision for the Nepalese ministry when we began it. We said that we want to reach every single Nepalese guard that God has placed in front of the church at that stretch of the street. And true enough, under God and empowered by this Holy Spirit, we were able to do that. And every single guard that come through our doorstep, as you know, in the church, because they rotate quite frequently, we will manage to share the gospel with them, invite them to accept Jesus. And so, previously, all of our guards, they were Christians. And now we have new guards coming in again because the old one were sent to somewhere else. So now we have new guards that are non-Christians again. What a wonderful thing that is, so that we can evangelize them again. So that was our vision, to be able to reach every single guard that God has placed at the front of the church. You know, a few weeks ago, Aiting and I, we went to Menya Shishido at Gasket Alley. And so over there, we saw a staff wearing a cross. And Aiting being Aiting, if she was able to chat up with this person, and we found out that there are 21 Sabahan staffs in Menya Shishido, 21 staff. And most of them are Christians, and most of them, they do not have a church that they go to. And so our plan is to go back there again, to befriend them, to find out more about their situation, and if possible, to invite them to our Bahasa service. You see, it is a mission field out there. It is a mission field. And if we think that, you know, if we look around, and if we think that PJEFC is big enough already, and we do not need to win more people for Christ, then our love for others is too small. Jesus has called those who has followed him to be fishers of men. This was not a call exclusive to the 12 disciples. This is a call that belongs to all of us. If you belong to Jesus, then you are called to reach people with the gospel. So join me in Luke chapter 5, verse 1 to 11, as we consider the topic on dare to fish for Jesus. And for today, we have a friend from the Udu ministry with us, and I have invited her. Her name is Anita. I have invited Anita to read the Bible for me.
Praise the Lord, everyone. I'm going to do the Bible reading from Luke 5, 1 to 11 verses. One day as Jesus was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God. He saw at the water edge two boats left there by the fishermen who were washing their nets. He got into one of the boats, the one belonging to Simon, and asked him to put out a little from shore. Then he sat down and taught the people from the boat. When he had finished speaking, he said to Simon, "Put out into deep water and let down the nets for a catch." Simon answered, "Master, we have worked hard all night and have not caught anything. But because you say so, I will let down the nets." When they had done so, they caught such a large number of fish that their nets began to break. So they signaled their partners in the other boat to come and help them, and they came and filled both boats so full that they began to sink. When Simon Peter saw this, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, "Go away from me, Lord. I am a sinful man." For he and all his companions were astonished at the catch of fish they had taken. And so were James and John, the son of Zebedee, Simon's partners. Then Jesus said to Simon, "Don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people." So they pulled their boats up on shore, left everything, and followed him. This is the word of God. Thank you to be the God. Amen.
So I'm very encouraged because just now when she came, she said, "Wow, this place is so huge. It's unlike the Udu ministry." And so it was also, you know, an occasion that she stepped out of her comfort zone to read the Bible here. So in today's message, I want us to look at the analogy of fishing and what are the qualities required for those who would set out to fish for men. And so the first thing that we notice about fishing for Jesus is that it requires active participation. Though the title says, "Dare to fish for Jesus," but it would be much accurate to say, after much, you know, reflection, it would be much accurate to say, "Dare to fish with Jesus." It's a change of word, but it changes the entire meaning of fishing for men. You see, Jesus stepped into the boat, and Peter, he was washing his net at that time. Then Jesus invited Peter to come along, to step into the boat, and Peter did. He went into the boat together with Jesus to go fishing. And so to get discipleship and evangelism correct, we must understand that Christianity is not like a spectator sport. What typically happens in a stadium is that you have a few players actively playing the game, and the rest are spectators. They might cheer on the players or the team, but for most sports, they simply watch. These people, they simply watch. They are spectators. However, church life, brothers and sisters, is not like that. It's not about sitting back comfortably in your chair and watching a few people performing ministry up on the stage. Church life is fully participating in the game, engaging in the gospel ministry, and this applies to all of us. This is every member ministry. I believe I have spoken about every member ministry before. This was one of the DNAs that the early missionaries, when they came to Malaysia to plant the EFCM, this is what they have imparted to our early leaders, that in every church, it must have this DNA of every member ministry. Every member is a participant. Every believer is a participant. Every believer is a minister of the gospel. Every believer has a gift. Therefore, every believer is called to serve. The church is priesthood of all believers. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. "You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praise of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light." And we have to move away from this idea that you can only serve God on Sundays. Ultimately, we are called to be salt and light in our homes, neighborhoods, workplaces, schools, the wider community. And for some people, you might be even called to serve God and his people overseas. Jesus called us to be fishers of men, right? But some of us, we are worried. You say, I am not gifted in it. It is true that some people are more gifted in evangelism, in fishing for people. But it is also true, equally true, that we all can nurture, be equipped, and improve to be an effective fisher of men. You might not be the next Billy Graham, but you can still draw people to Christ in your own way. See, I know almost nothing about literal fishing, all right? But even for a beginner like me, I have caught a few fish before, okay? After some guidance from those who are more experienced. Moreover, you have to understand that fishing for Jesus is not merely a technical task. It's not a physical or skill-based task. It is also relational work. It has the spiritual dimension to it. It is prayerfully depending on the Holy Spirit to empower us to proclaim Christ's love to a world that is lost, and then we leave the result into God's hand. Every one of us, we can play a part in moving someone a step closer to Jesus. And that begins with you being willing to step into the boat with Jesus. So ask yourself this question today. Are you in the boat with Jesus? Have you put your faith and your trust in Jesus? If so, then he commands you to be fisher of men. Secondly, there is a certain quality from fishermen that translates well into kingdom work, which is their unwavering determination. You see, it is believed that as many as 7 of the disciples have been fishermen. We know for certain that this was the case for Peter, Andrew, James, and John. And Peter said to Jesus in verse 4, "We have worked hard all night long." They have worked hard all night long. And this shows great determination. They did not just cast the net into the water for a few times, didn't get the fish, and then they say to themselves, "Let's go home." They didn't give up after a few hours. They were trying for the whole night until dawn. They kept moving, they kept working, they kept seeking for those fish, but they caught nothing. However, believe it or not, they only caught bottles and plastics in the sea. And what a horrendous sight that was. So irresponsible for people to throw their water bottles into the sea. They should be like those who are in PJEFC, who will bring their empty plastic bottles next Saturday onwards to recycle. This is our DMM Creation Care Challenge, all right? So there was a slight divergence to promote our challenge, e-recycle challenge that is starting next week. All right, back to the topic, okay? Of fishing with Jesus. As we attempt to fish, to reach people for Christ, we study hard, we learn the scripture, we study different methods of evangelism, we pray for the people unceasingly, and then the moment comes, we sit face to face with that person, and this is the person that God has placed in your heart, right? We present the gospel, whatever method it may be, 4 spiritual laws, the gospel bridge, 4 points, whatever it is. We present the gospel, and we invite them to trust Jesus as their Lord and Savior. So you ask the person, would you want to pray with me the sinner's prayer to accept Jesus into your heart? And in many cases, you know, this person that we have such a burden for, they will say to us, maybe next time, not this time. They reject the offer of salvation. And you are crushed because of that experience. How many of us here have had that experience before? You share with someone you love and they reject you. Anyone of us? Yeah. See? Yeah, I see a few hands coming up. This is a common experience for many of us. And it is at this point you are faced with a decision. Will you give up on that person? Will you give up on evangelism altogether? I know that some people have. Or will you continue to be faithful to the call that God has placed in your life? In any context, rejection is never easy, but it is especially difficult if it comes from somebody that you love and you know that their eternal destiny is at stake. However, when rejection comes, we must be determined to continue to cast our net into the water. Satan loves to use rejection as a weapon against Christians who seek to reach others for Christ. He will tell you that you are wasting your time sharing the gospel. You know, this person is a devout Buddhist, this person is an atheist, it's impossible for him to change. Satan will try to convince you that you did it wrong, you have said the wrong things, and it is your fault that this person did not get saved. However, the reality is that if you have shared the gospel, you have been obedient. You are not expected to save anyone, nor can you. Jesus is the only one that can save. And all you have been called to do is to share the good news of Jesus Christ, be faithful, be passionate, and be obedient to fulfill the Great Commission, and you leave the result to God. Jesus has only called us to cast the net. And as we have read in the passage, it is Jesus' promise that he will draw the fish into the net. So a few weeks ago in the Chinese church prayer meeting, I was sharing about how hard it is for me to share my faith with my family members, especially the elderly ones. And the Chinese church deacon, Yun Long, encouraged me with his testimony of how he persevered in this process. So today, I have invited him to record his testimony. He couldn't be here to share his testimony with us because he just had an eye operation. And so he recorded his video testimony to share with all of us so that it would inspire us to continue to cast the net and not to give up. Please play the testimony video. Thank you.
今天呢，林辉环传道有一个机会在这里跟大家分享一个小见证。我呢，其实是在中学的时候，有上帝差遣了很多基督教的同学在我的身边，让我有机会认识了耶稣。那么我信耶稣呢，我的爸爸是有意见的，他可能觉得，哎，这个是外国人的宗教。 我们华人不适合，但是我坚定了我的信心之后，有一天我就跟爸爸讲，我信耶稣，我现在是基督徒。他去跟我讲，你要信基督教，你不要叫你的弟弟妹妹也是跟着你一起信耶稣。我信了耶稣，当然我也希望我的爸爸妈妈、我的弟弟妹妹全部都信耶稣，对吗？但是跟他讲，没有效果。我相信可能我们当中也有人也是有同样的经历。 我们跟其他人分享福音的时候，好像比较容易，但是跟最亲近的人分享耶稣的时候，好像很困难。我的情况也是这样，所以就祷告了，一直不断的祷告，祷告了十多年，确实的时间不记得了，但是最少十多年，每个星期在主日敬拜的时候祷告，眼泪不断的流，因为心里非常的担忧啊。 爸爸为什么还没有信耶稣？爸爸，你几时要信耶稣？祷告，祷告。我记得那个时候，我跟我太太，我的儿子，我儿子还很小，那个时候，他今年5月结婚，但是那个时候他很小。我们就在旧把圣路的一间英文教会聚会，我就听到一个消息，我的爸爸，他的朋友邀请他去 SS2 的牧灵精兴会 Community Baptist Church 中文堂那边去参加主日的聚会。 参加一次、两次、几次，信了耶稣啊！你看啊，亲生的儿子讲的口水都干，没有反应。但是他的朋友邀请他去，去了几次去听，听了之后就信了耶稣，感谢耶稣。我爸爸信了耶稣呢，他很热心、很火热，到处去跟他的朋友分享，上帝对我真好，上帝爱我。然后我就发现。 我的妈妈其实是一直等待着信耶稣的，但是她要让我的爸爸先信了耶稣，他才跟着信。我的爸爸在前几年已经回来添加，我知道我有一天会再次遇见他。现在呢，我还不断的在为我的妈妈还有弟兄姐妹祷告。我的弟弟妹妹里面还有好几个是还没有信耶稣的，所以我一直在为他们祷告。 我相信我们当中有好多人，每天祷告的时候，都有一个、两个、三个、四个是我们在祷告中纪念的，祷告神 让他们能够听到福音，祷告神让他们能够接受耶稣。请你不要放弃，请你要继续祷告。当福音传到这个人的生命里面的时候，这个福音的种子就在他心里面种下了。我们不断的祷告，不断的祷告，就是不断的浇水，有一天圣灵会让这个福音的种子成长，有一天上帝会让这一个人有机会接受耶稣。所以在这里我呼吁大家不要停止祷告，每一天继续的祷告，要相信神。哈利路亚，愿神祝福大家。
So as Win Long has exhorted all of us, 请你不要放弃。All right, please do not give up. If you have given up because of past rejections, go out and try it again. Keep praying. If you are at the point of ready to give up, keep pressing on. Cast your net into the water once again and trust that Jesus will draw the fish in. Be determined that you will keep praying regardless of the results. So think about this. Who are the people in your lives that you know they need to know Jesus? And what are the steps you are going to take this month to reach them? I encourage that, you know, after the service, by faith, just go to the Alpha booth, purchase a few tickets. Maybe God hasn't given you, you know, the names yet, but just get maybe 3 or 4 tickets. Just get it first and pray about it and ask God, who is it that you want me to give this ticket to? Give it to your family member, your long-lost friend, your colleague, and you trust the result into God's hand. Moving on, another great quality of fishermen that translates well into kingdom work is the fact that they all work together. Peter said, we have worked all night long. He didn't say, I have worked. We have worked. These men, they were not fishing alone. They were not fishing with rods. They were fishing with large nets. And this required them to work together. Andrew, Peter, James, and John, they worked together to bring in the great catch of fish. They partnered together with one another. And soon, they would partner together to bring in a great harvest of souls as well. You see, if we are to be successful in kingdom work, we must work together. We must join with our brothers and sisters in Christ to work toward a common goal of reaching out to the lost, to make disciples, to glorify God. So the church community that works together with a sense of mission is like which one? Which one are we? The church community that works together with a sense of mission is like the crew on a fishing boat and not pleasure boat like yacht. The pleasure boats are about convenience and comfort. They go out at times that people want to go out. They hug the shoreline so that people can enjoy the view. They are very safe, they are very comfortable, and it is about us. The fishing boats, they are built entirely different. They launch out into the deep. Their crew takes risks. They make sacrifices, and one of the sacrifices is their comfort. Have you seen the show, The Deadliest Catch? It is a TV series that follows a group of fishermen in the northern Pacific Ocean. The show often highlights the camaraderie and the relationship between the crew members because, frankly, this is one of the most dangerous jobs out there. And any mistakes, they could lose their life. And if you and we just read about, you know, Acts in last month. And if you look at Acts, pioneering evangelism is also a very dangerous work. Church planting, for some of the missionaries, it is up there. It's one of the most dangerous works that takes risks. Because we know that the best fishing spot is often the most difficult waters. And we need to launch into the deep to get those fish. And you need a team to support you to do so. It is difficult work. There are some sacrifices to be made, but at the end of it, it is all worth it because of the joy in the catch. So anyone who has ever caught a fish before know this. Have you ever noticed how much fishermen love to pose with their fish? This is like their trophy catch. By the way, these pictures are taken during our staff retreat. Someone caught that fish, and the fish just go around. And so it's the same fish, okay? It's the same fish. Yeah. So even if it is a fish that is caught by someone else, we all share the joy together. And I want to ask you, when you look at these pictures of fishermen, you know, posing with their fish, have you ever seen a fisherman that is sad looking? No, right? Because there is great joy in catching fish for Jesus. And of course, there is far greater joy in seeing people coming to faith in Jesus Christ. And we are in this fishing boat together. And our captain, of course, is Jesus Christ, our Lord. And that takes me to my fourth point. Since Jesus is the captain of the ship, the final, and I would say the most important quality that we need to go fishing with Jesus is to obey the captain. It's obedience. Okay, let me share with you a story. So during the last staff retreat in April, you saw the pictures already. So a few of us, we went fishing in Harvest Haven, but we were not successful. Then the Sifu came along. You guys know who that is, right? Elder Chien. Okay? And so he told us that we need to switch from roti. So I was using roti. To switch from roti to live bait, earthworm. For me, I was only fishing for fun, and I didn't want to get my hands dirty, you know, dealing with the earthworms. But for Sam was fishing for real, and he obeyed. And this was also Sam's first time fishing, all right? So Sam immediately went to a muddy area, and he dug up a lot of this mud to unearth the earthworms. And he picked them up with his bare hands. So I stood beside Sam. I tried to help him a little bit. There's a worm, there's a worm. You know, I was just pointing to him. So I tried to help, all right? So Sam caught, because at the end we counted how many worms he caught, so we caught about 15 worms. It was very long. The small one, we threw it back to the earth. So we caught the long one and the really juicy one. Okay, then Sam took a few and then he went back to the fishing spot and he sauteed them onto the hook. So they are still wriggling, right? And he cast the string, and within a few minutes, he already got his first catch. And this was the tilapia that he caught. And so you see, his obedience was rewarded. Whereas for me, because I refused to obey, so I did not catch anything. And I think there is some spiritual principle to this as well, all right? And I want to, so here, I want to help you to see the relationship between revelation and response. Knowing God and obeying God. You see, it is only when we obey and apply the truth, we grow as a disciple. Knowledge alone does not change life. It is truth applied that changes lives. Every revelation from God, whether it is through His Word, like what we are doing right now, hearing His Word being preached, or the songs, or the hymns, or through the exhortation of other members in the church, or from the Holy Spirit to you directly, all of this is an invitation for us to respond rightly. And we actually see this pattern. We see this pattern in the entire Bible. So one of the classic expressions in the Bible is this. We love because God first loved us. The revelation is God loves us. And how do we respond? We respond by loving others. God reveals His love to us through Jesus, through the cross. And we respond to His love by loving others. Revelation and response. Revelation and response. Knowing God and obeying God. Another classic example, Colossians 3, chapter 13. As the Lord has forgiven you, so this is a revelation. The Lord has forgiven you. So what is your response? You also must forgive. And you will find that as you start to obey God in these little things, along the way, God will reveal Himself more and more and more to you. And James, the book of James, put it like this. Draw near to God, and He will draw near to us. As God reveals to you, you obey, and God will reveal more of himself to you. So how is this tied to this Peter's, his faith journey? Okay, so we see that in Luke chapter 4, Peter must have seen. So in Luke chapter 4, Peter must have seen Jesus doing all the miracles, healing people, casting out evil spirits, because Luke chapter 4 was the beginning of Jesus' ministry. This was the initial revelation of who Jesus is and his love and his compassion toward his towards the fellow Jews. And so when Peter asked, when Jesus asked Peter to cast out the net, Peter was sort of ready to obey. Despite it made no sense to Peter at all. Jesus was a carpenter. Peter was a professional fisherman. Peter knew that you don't fish in the middle of the day, you fish at night. And you don't, and in the Sea of Galilee, you don't fish at the deep end, you fish at the shallow end. Jesus knew all of this. However, Peter cast out his net anyways. Why did he do that? Perhaps Peter has seen enough of Jesus in Luke chapter 4, and he was ready to obey a small request from Jesus. It was not a big request. Jesus did not tell him, leave everything and follow me. Jesus said, just come to the boat with me and cast out your net. It is as if Jesus is just saying, test it out, just try it. And Peter did it, and I don't think that Peter was expecting of any catch that day, but he was just trying it out. So what happened next? When Peter obeyed a small request from Jesus to cast out the net, God rewarded his obedience by revealing so much more of himself to Peter through the fishing miracle. And Peter, once again, he responded by falling on his face, confessing that he is a sinner, because he realizes that God is working through this holy man, Jesus. Jesus is someone that is holy and divine. And then it is at this moment, Jesus said, don't be afraid. From now on, you will fish for people. This is a new revelation to Peter, a new calling, a new destiny for Peter. And it is at this point, Peter is ready to obey, to leave everything and to follow Jesus. Most people would say that Peter's defining moment is when he left everything to follow Jesus. But I believe that his defining moment is when he said yes to Jesus by casting out his net at the first place, when he responded to that smaller request at the first place. Imagine this, what would have happened if Peter said to Jesus, Jesus, I don't think so. You know, we have been fishing all night long. We are professional fishermen. You are just a carpenter. I'm not going to waste my time and energy to go out in the daytime and cast the net again. What if Peter had said no to Jesus at that moment? He would not have seen the miracle. He would not have seen Jesus reveal more of his glory to him. And his entire destiny would have been derailed. And so I cannot help but to wonder how many of us, we are not able to see God working in our lives because we refuse to obey what God has revealed to us. The problem with so many of us is that we want a guarantee from God, you know, that this is going to work. I will cast the net only if you can guarantee the catch. I need to know the whole plan before I commit. Tell me what is step 2, step 3, step 4. Then I will think about whether this is worth my energy and my time. So some people need to let go of their control. Take a step of faith toward the path of obedience. Hebrews 11 tells us that faith is confidence in what we hope for, not what we have guaranteed for, and assurance about what we do not see. There is no guarantee. However, we obey by faith, and the only guarantee that we have is the faithfulness of God in seeing us through. That is what happened when the leadership challenged Pastor Hari to go back to Nepal to plant a church. He had his concerns because this family is the only Christian family in Baktapo, in the midst of 60 Hindu families. However, Pastor Hari said yes by faith, and he did not even really consider about how he is going to be financially supported. It was a simple faith. Where God leads, he will provide. And today, we have a small yet vibrant community of Jesus followers there. And you really should see it for yourself, you know, by joining the Nepal mission trip at the end of October. So you can sign up for a briefing session at the booth outside afterward, where Pastor Hari will brief you on Zoom about what you can expect from this mission trip. So we have Sunday service, you know, these two persons just newly accepted Jesus, and now Pastor Hari is doing Bible study with them. And one of the most exciting things is the children ministry. The children ministry is really growing in Baktapo area. So we really praise God for what God is doing through Pastor Hari and through his simple faith by saying yes to God. For some of you, maybe you want to take a step of faith to share Christ with others, but you are not sure what will happen afterward. Will this person respond positively? Will this cause our friendship to be awkward? You don't know, but your faith will grow. I can guarantee you that when you obey what God has put in your heart. Some of you, you are going to tithe for the first time in your life. You have heard about teaching, about tithing, about giving 10% of your income to God, but you have made excuses. Time is bad. I need to save up my money for rainy days. I need the extra money. Will God guarantee my financial prosperity if I give? You know, I do not know. But I do know that tithing enables you to prove that your faith is in God, the source of all things, and is not in material things. And when you obey, you will start to experience his faithfulness for you. And your faith will start to grow. Some of you, perhaps you have been approached to lead a cell group or to serve in some ministry, but you are thinking, am I good enough? Am I qualified? Do I know enough? You know, what if I serve, what if I lead, and then no one follows me? I want you to take a step of faith and say yes to God. And sometime down the line, you will look back and you will realize that God is using me to build up others. We are sharing life together around God's word. And I am so glad that I have said yes to the challenge. Some of you, maybe you have been thinking about going into full-time ministry as a pastor or as a missionary, but you are not sure about it. You know, you ask yourself, is this really from God? Am I too young to go into seminary? Or am I too old to go into seminary or for this role? If I go into full-time ministry, how will I provide for my family? You are asking all of these questions. And I want to encourage you just to take a step of faith onto the path of obedience. And you will see God's faithfulness in seeing you through. And today, I want to share with you how someone is obedient to God's prompting this week. You see, the preacher for August 14, Sunday service, is unable to preach. So the pulpit committee, we had to find another preacher to replace. So we have asked this person numerous times over the years to preach, but he always declines out of humility. I'm not good enough, like, you know, this kind of thing. But this time, perhaps God was speaking to him, or perhaps our elder chairman is very persuasive. I don't know. It could be both. Or perhaps, you know, this is a month where we are stepping out of our comfort zone. And this person said yes to preaching in the English service. And this individual is actually our own Deacon Tik Lim. All right? So, wherever you are sitting now, there is no turning back, okay? So everyone, do keep him in prayer. All right, so the question that I want to leave with all of you is this. What will you obey from the revelations of God that has been given to you? Not what have you learned, all right? Not what have you gained, you know, insights that you have gained. I know you have gained a lot of insights, but the more important question is, what will you obey from the revelations that God has given to you today? So in conclusion, let me remind you once again that we are talking about fishing with Jesus and not merely fishing for Jesus. And we have the assurance that when we fish for Jesus, he is right here with us, because in the Great Commission, he has promised us that his presence will be with us to the end of the age in Matthew 28. So when you prepare to cast your net into the water, rest assured that Jesus is there with you. And I pray that as God looks at you today, he will be wowed and amazed by your faith. And when he looks at PJESC, he will be amazed at our faith. And I trust and I know that you are ready to go fishing for Jesus. But I also realize that some people here today, you might not have responded to Jesus' personal invitation before to follow him. He gave each of these men a personal invitation to follow him. And in response, they left everything and followed him. Jesus is extending the same invitation to some of you today here. You have never trusted in Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you are still lost in your sins. Don't worry, he came for you. You don't have to be perfect to come to him. He came to love the sinners, the broken, and the tarnished ones. And when the fishermen, Peter, they decided to follow him, they were transformed by his love, set free from their sin. And I want to encourage you today as well, if you have not placed your trust in Jesus, to do it today, to step into the boat with Jesus, push away from the shore, launch into the deep, and go fishing with him. If that is you today, I just want to encourage you to say to him, yes, Jesus, by faith, I will step into the boat with you. I surrender my life to you. You are my Savior. You are my Lord. I want to give my life to you. So if that is you, could you just lift up your hand and say, that is me. Is there anybody here today who would like to make a decision to obey and to follow Jesus? If you would like to accept Jesus, to follow him, you know, to go into the boat with him, to launch out into the deep and to go fishing with him, you can still do so. And if you would like to do that, in your heart, you can say this prayer to him and accept him into your life. You can follow after me in this prayer. All right. Jesus, be my Savior, the Lord of my life. Fill me with your Spirit so that I could know you, serve you, follow you. My life is not my own. Today, I give it to you. Thank you for the new life. In Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.
You have been listening to a sermon from PJEFC. We hope that you have been blessed by the message. For more sermons, please go to www.pjefc.org/sermons. Love God, love people, and make disciples.